Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only. Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only. Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Scott Mason. He is the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. Play Like a Jet podcast is dedicated to providing New York Jets content. On the program, we talk about some of the struggles that the Jets have had with the quarterback position and other areas that they've had problems with. And also, we'll talk about their last game and their upcoming game. Scott is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
.145/92 .180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only. Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only. Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only.
How's your driving? Like right now? Are you the one texting, putting makeup on, eating a chicken wrap, merging without a turn signal, or going 50 in the fast lane? Or are you the one watching your blind spot? keeping your hands off the phone, turning smoothly and going easy on the brakes? Because if you're the last one, you're a perfect candidate to save money. A lot of money. At Root Insurance, we care about you and how you drive. While other insurers put more weight on your age, zip code, education, and job, we know the most important factor in determining someone's risk on the road is how they actually drive. Sound simple? That's because it is. Here's how it works. Root uses the technology in your smartphone to give you a rate based primarily on how you actually drive, which means good drivers could save hundreds. So if you're a good driver, Root is for you, because we're all about you and how you drive. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details. How's your driving? Like right now. Are you the one texting, putting makeup on, eating a chicken wrap, merging without a turn signal, or going 50 in the fast lane? Or are you the one watching your blind spot, keeping your hands off the phone, turning smoothly and going easy on the brakes? Because if you're the last one, you're a perfect candidate to save money. A lot of money. At Root Insurance, we care about you and how you drive. While other insurers put more weight on your age, zip code, education, and job, we know the most important factor in determining someone's risk on the road is how they actually drive. Sound simple? That's because it is. Here's how it works. Root uses the technology in your smartphone to give you a rate based primarily on how you actually drive, which means good drivers could save hundreds. So if you're a good driver, Root is for you, because we're all about you and how you drive. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details. Root is a new type of car insurance that looks deeper than traditional insurers. By using the sensors in your smartphone to understand how you actually drive, that's how Root is able to give better drivers a better price. Download the Root app today. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details. How's your driving? Like right now. Are you the one texting, putting makeup on, eating a chicken wrap, merging without a turn signal, or going 50 in the fast lane? Or are you the one watching your blind spot, keeping your hands off the phone, turning smoothly and going easy on the brakes? Because if you're the last one, you're a perfect candidate to save money. A lot of money. At Root Insurance, we care about you and how you drive. While other insurers put more weight on your age, zip code, education, and job, we know the most important factor in determining someone's risk on the road is how they actually drive. Sound simple? That's because it is. Here's how it works. Root uses the technology in your smartphone to give you a rate based primarily on how you actually drive, which means good drivers could save hundreds. So if you're a good driver, Root is for you, because we're all about you and how you drive. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details. We're all different, and that means we each drive differently. That's why Root Insurance is all about you, your braking, your turning, how much you drive, or how little. Everything you're doing behind the wheel to make the road a safer place for all of us. Root focuses on what really matters, your driving. In fact, that's the number one factor we use to give you a better price. You, that's what matters. Download the Root app today. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Everybody, welcome back to the program. That's one of the most infamous chants in all of the National Football League, the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Unfortunately, the Jets need a little bit of that firepower once again from its fans, because it's been a tough year thus far. It's been a tough several years for Gang Green, or as people would call them, the other team from New York. But we've got someone that's going to come on in just a moment to talk about the play of the New York Jets and also some other things that are happening with the team as we speak. Also, we're going to go delve deep into a little bit about the offensive and the defensive side, and also a future NFL draft prospect, something we need to keep our eyes and ears paying attention to. We're going to talk to him about that just one moment. Also, we're going to talk about their last game and also their upcoming game that they have coming up, and also talk about their current franchise quarterback, been through some tough times, and also the head coach, he's under fire. I mean, hey, what else is new playing under the bright lights of New York City, or as they say, in the Meadowlands of New Jersey? Definitely the Jets, one of the most highly respected organizations in all of the NFL, a very proud organization. They played for, I mean, when you think of the Jets, you think of quarterbacks such as Joe Namath, also Ken O'Brien, of course, Boomer Esiason's played there, Chad Pennington, Ray Lucas had some pretty good years there as well. So certainly a lot of pride there with the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Of course, you think of other Jet greats like Keyshawn Johnson, Wayne Corbett, of course, Curtis Martin, Anthony Becton, also Don Maynard, and a ton of other Jet greats that have played for that organization. So definitely we're looking forward to just finding out what's going on with not the football Giants, but the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Definitely something to look forward to. And also, man, you know, the Jets, you know, with the power shifting in the AFC East, you know, the New England Patriots, Tom Brady's no longer there. Currently, the quarterback situation with the Patriots is Cam Newton. It's a little dicey as of right now. Then you've got Miami. The Tua era is alive and well with Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. And then Buffalo seems to be at the peak of their powers right now in that division in the AFC East. So definitely something to look forward to in the AFC East. And the Jets, they have what it takes. It's a young team. It's a team that's definitely on the rise, and definitely, but they got to get it together. I don't know if it's management. I don't know if it's the talent. I don't know what it is. I mean, we can't put all the blame on its quarterback. We don't know who to put the blame on. I mean, the Jets haven't been that good in quite some time. So definitely something we got to pay attention to. Definitely something we got to look, keep our eyes and ears open, because it's one thing to have not a one New York team not winning, but when you have two New York teams not winning, that's something interesting right there, to say the least. But nevertheless, we'll have them on coming on the program in just one moment. But you know, it's just, again, it's always fun when you have two New York teams winning. When you have two New York teams winning, it's always outstanding, because you know, all of the lights are on New York. The lights shine bright in New York City, Times Square. It's the media capital of the world. It's all sorts of things that happen in New York, and then being under that microscope of New York. When you win, the world is your oyster. When you don't win, let's just say it's trouble in paradise, to say the least. And to talk a little bit more about the New York Jets, 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 he's going to be coming on in just one moment. But, you know, one of the cool things about the Jets is that, you know, for all of its the problems that they've experienced this year, definitely the future appears to be bright. The future appears to be bright. Again, we don't know. There's just some weird circumstances going on right now. But, you know, the Jets are a proud organization. The Jets have something to be proud of. The Jets are a team that's definitely somebody that's can be a force to be reckoned with. They're definitely somebody that can be that can make noise. But to get more into the insides of the New York Jets, let's welcome the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast, Scott Mason. Hello, Scott. How's everything?
Hey, how are you? I'm good. It's a little rainy here, but other than that, can't complain.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Let's get right to it. I was telling the audience earlier about what a proud organization the New York Jets is. And, I mean, I was telling earlier, it's one thing to have one New York team not winning. It's another thing to have two New York teams not winning. Let's discuss the Jets game against the Bills. Again, it's the Jets had a chance. Let's just be real. The Jets had a chance. They hung with the Bills as long as they could. Can you tell me what were some of the highlights and the lowlights from that game?
Yeah, a lot of lowlights. I guess the highlights all happened early on. Sam Darnold looked sharp in the early going. The offense moved the ball in a way that they hadn't for most of the season. This was in the first quarter and a half. And then it all kind of fell apart as the Bills figured out what the Jets were doing and adjusted. I believe the stat was that Sam Darnold was 10 of 11 for 107 yards at the beginning, and he finished 11 of 23 for 120 yards. So that should tell you all you need to know about how the rest of his day went. He also threw two interceptions and was sacked six times for a loss of about 26 yards. And on the other side of the ball, the defense did a pretty good job of containing Josh Allen and keeping him in the pocket early. But again, Brian Daboll and the offense figured out what the Jets were doing, readjusted, and they were able to move the ball a lot more effectively as the game wore on, particularly in the second half. Josh Allen ended up with something like 350 yards passing. And even though they only had a bunch of field goal attempts, they attempted eight field goals and made six of them. They were able to move the ball at will in the second half. So the game was kind of tight in the first quarter, quarter and a half. And then after that, the Bills just took over and never looked back.
Wow, it's very interesting. Indeed, they never looked back. I mean, I was telling the audience earlier about the shift of power in the AFC East. We saw Tom Brady. Tom Brady is no longer with the New England Patriots. He's in Tampa Bay now. So New England currently has their situation for the moment. Cam Newton is the quarterback as this interview is airing. But also we're seeing the Tua era begin in Miami, and then you've got, of course, Buffalo has shown their dominance so far within the last almost 2 years. Coming into this season, did you expect the Jets to at least try to put up a fight in the AFC East?
I thought they would probably be battling the Dolphins for the fourth spot, the seller in the East. I figured the Patriots and the Bills were going to be battling it out for the division. The Dolphins have so far done better than I expected, and the Jets, I can't say that I expected them to be 0-7. I thought that they might win a couple of games, but it became pretty clear, easily clear to people very early that the Jets were not going to be a competitive team this year. I thought that they would probably be a 5-win team this season, and now that's looking to be quite optimistic. I think part of why I thought that would happen is that I thought Sam Darnold would be a lot better than he's been. He struggled mightily. Even the games that he's played, it's been five games he's played, and the other two were Joe Flacco. The five games he's played, he's had a lot of trouble. So that's why I think I had higher expectations than what is actually happening now. I never thought they'd compete for the division, but I thought they'd at least be a 5-win team, and it doesn't look like they're going to come anywhere close to that now.
Let's stay with the Bills and Jets game for a moment, Scott. You mentioned that the Buffalo was able to turn the tide and was able to hold on and get the victory. Do you think with the Jets not holding on or holding on to a lead or not, not holding on to a lead or not able to hang with Buffalo, do you think it was a matter of experience, or do you think they just ran out of gas? What do you think attributed to them not holding on to that lead and then letting Buffalo come back and win?
Well, I think it was just a matter of the Jets surprised them early with some things that they hadn't done. There was a lot of motion on offense, particularly. I thought that the defense had some good plays from Marcus May, who had been moved back to free safety from strong safety, and some of the younger guys were contributing, Bryce Huff. And so at first, Buffalo was a little bit thrown off, but once Buffalo figured out what was going on, they have better coaching, but more importantly, they just have much better talent all the way around. So I think that's really what ended up happening. Darnold was confused by what Buffalo was doing. There was one interception where they dropped the linebacker into coverage, which a guy in his third-year quarterback should not have been so confused by, and he threw an interception. I think it really is just a matter of Buffalo was a much better team, and once coaching staff for Buffalo figured out how to counteract what the Jets were doing early on, it was relatively smooth sailing.
You mentioned Sam Darnold, but I'm going to bring up some of the story quarterbacks of the New York Jets organization. Of course, Joe Namath, and then you have Richard Todd, followed by Ken O'Brien, Boomer Esiason, Neil O'Donnell, Glenn Foley, Vinny Testaverde, Ray Lucas, Chad Pennington, Brett Favre, Mark Sanchez, and as recent as Ryan Fitzpatrick. Sam Darnold is currently in his third year in the National Football League. Did you expect Sam to pick up the system by now? Were you expecting him to kind of grasp the NFL system and grasp what Adam Gase was selling to him, or is this still a shock to you that he's not really developed to the hype that he had, that he was brought up to be when coming out of USC?
Well, first of all, I have to say I'm shocked you didn't bring up the legendary Browning Nagel, who was the Jets quarterback in 1992. But no,
Browning Nagel. I'm sorry.
I'm just kidding. Obviously, we've all tried collectively to forget Browning Nagel the best that we can at this point. But yeah, I did expect more from Sam Darnold at this point. I was a big fan of his coming out of USC. There were a lot of things that you saw in his tape, for instance, the fact that he can make these anticipation throws and that he had to do full field reads, which most college quarterbacks don't do, his ability to throw on the run. I had Dan Orlovsky on my show in the lead up to the draft that year, and he had said that he thought Sam Darnold was what would happen if Tony Romo and Ben Roethlisberger had a baby together. And I think that was pretty much where a lot of people's heads were at. Andrew Luck was another guy that we were comparing him to. And I thought that he was going to be a top 10 quarterback in the league just based on his tools and his ability to make these plays. But what's unfortunately happened is that Darnold, at the end of his rookie season, was really, really good. And he looked super promising. He had a stretch the last month of the year where everybody thought that he was going to be a superstar the next year. Then in year number two, he came down with mono early in the season. When he came back, he had some good games, but then he had some bad games, kind of up and down. So you didn't see a regression, but you didn't see what you wanted to see in terms of a jump from year one to year two. Year three has been the big problem, because now not only are we seeing the bad habits that he already had, but we're seeing a lot of new bad habits. So we already knew he had bad footwork and mechanical problems, but now he's not seeing open receivers. He's not reading the field. He's missing reads. He's skipping reads. There are all kinds of times that he's making poor decisions. He just looks broken out there. It's almost like that game last year when he said he was seeing ghosts against the New England Patriots. It's like he's still seeing those ghosts. And in year number three, that's a very dangerous spot to be in, because it's not impossible for somebody who has performed this poorly the first 2.5 years of his career to turn it around. Drew Brees did it, and Alex Smith didn't become a superstar, but he became a pretty solid quarterback in the NFL after quite a few seasons where he was underperforming. But the odds are not good, and Sam Darnold's going to have to be rebuilt from scratch. He has so many bad habits to fix, and the problem is when you get a kid straight out of college, it's a lot easier, because the way I like to explain it, it's like if you're teaching a 20-year-old kid new technology or you're teaching a 65-year-old man new technology. It's much easier to teach the 20-year-old kid because they haven't had all these habits built into their head and all these different things that they know how to do, and they're resistant to change. That's kind of what you're going to see a little bit with Sam Darnold. It's going to be a lot harder to rebuild him than it would be to have built him coming out of college in 2018. And so while it's not impossible, it's looking worse and worse by the week. So whoever Sam Darnold ends up working with next year, whether it's somebody with the Jets or somebody with another team, he's going to need somebody that is an incredible quarterback guy, somebody along the lines of a Kyle Shanahan, somebody who has a track record of being able to rebuild these quarterbacks or really have that kind of effect on a quarterback the way that, say, Jim Harbaugh did with Alex Smith. It's very rare. It's going to be very difficult. It's not impossible, and he does have a ton of talent, and he is only 23, but this is something that's very concerning, and I have to tell you, I certainly didn't think this is where he would be in year three, but unfortunately, it is where he is.
Well, you know, Scott, the NFL, not only does it stand for the National Football League, but it also stands for not for long. And not for long will you be a starting quarterback in the league. I want to stay with Sam for a moment. You mentioned some interesting points in terms of the technology analogy. I want to ask you, you said that he may need to go somewhere where there's a system that develops quarterbacks. Adam Gase. Before Adam Gase became the head coach of the Jets, he worked with Peyton Manning, and people saw him, and the relationship he had with Peyton Manning was pretty solid. Do you think – I want to ask you, do you think Adam Gase – do you think – I mean, even though he was an offensive coordinator with the Broncos working with Peyton Manning, you don't think – and I know there's been a lot of criticism of him, but do you think he was never – or is not good, I should say, in – developing quarterbacks or having a system where he could nurture quarterbacks and take them to the next level?
I think the problem is, and we're seeing it now with Darnold, and we saw it a little bit with Ryan Tannehill too, is that Adam Gase is one of these guys who he's married to his own system. And so as long as you're capable of getting done what needs to get done within the confines of Gase's system, then you're going to be successful. If you have the right personnel and the right quarterback, you'll be fine. The problem is that when you don't have a guy like that, you're going to run into issues. Now, look at what happened with Ryan Tannehill down in Miami. Ryan Tannehill is somebody who was fairly productive his first couple of years before Gase showed up, and he was okay when Gase was there. But the problem was he didn't reach his full potential because instead of playing to Ryan Tannehill's strengths, which we're seeing Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, do in Tennessee right now, which is his athleticism and his ability to just make plays, read and react, he's not somebody that is Peyton Manning who can read defenses and be smart. As my friend Travis Wingfield, who actually works for the Dolphins now, likes to say, Ryan Tannehill is what you'd call football dumb, right? He gets by on his physical ability. And you're seeing that in Tennessee. Adam Gase tried to turn him into Peyton Manning with the Dolphins, and it didn't work out very well. You're seeing a lot of that with the Jets, too. He isn't asking Darnold to do what Darnold is best at. He's not gearing his game plan around what Darnold's strengths are. And I think the best way I can put this is, it would be like if you had Peyton Manning as your quarterback and you called for a lot of design rollouts, and Peyton Manning's not a quarterback who can throw on the run. He's arguably the second or third best quarterback of all time, but he's a pocket passer. He's not a guy that can make plays out on the run. So you call those plays and they're not going to work out. And then in the press conference, you say, well, why are you calling these design rollouts for Peyton Manning? And Gase would say, well, the plays were good. It's just execution. Well, yeah, but he's not capable of executing. And that's what we've seen now with Adam Gase. The funny thing is you mentioned Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning is a large part of the reason why Gase got this job, because Peyton Manning called Jets acting owner Christopher Johnson and really sold him on Adam Gase. And that's why Gase ended up being chosen, a big part of why. In fact, Matt Rhule, who you're now seeing as the head coach in Carolina, they were going back and forth with him. They tried to pick his staff. He didn't want to do that, so he left and they didn't hire him. And then the choice came down to Todd Monken, who is now the offensive coordinator in Georgia and doing a really good job, and Adam Gase. And a lot of what helped put Gase over the top was that Peyton Manning recommendation. So I think Gase has gotten a lot of his rep off of the work he did with Manning. I'm not so sure it's deserved, because let's be honest, Peyton Manning runs the offense himself for the most part, or did when he was playing, and he's not exactly a difficult guy to coach. What we've seen from Gase since then has not been very impressive. And so I think what we were sold was a quarterback guru who was going to take Darnold to the next level. What we got was a guy who impeded Darnold's progress and may have outright ruined him.
We're going to get back to more of Darnold, just one more thing, but I've got to ask you, you mentioned Adam Gase, but do you think it's the bright lights of New York that's getting to Sam, or do you think it's just all of the things that we've talked about, mentioned earlier?
I don't know if it's the bright lights. I mean, maybe that's getting in his head a little bit, but I think it's just the fact that mentally he's developed so many of these bad habits and he looks like a broken, lost quarterback right now. I mean, you go and you watch the tape and it's just ugly. Two guys that do fantastic work over at a website called JetsXFactor.com are good friends of mine. Joe Blewett, who does 3-hour film shows, he goes way in depth, and Michael Mannion does incredible analytics work. And they both go through all of this on a weekly basis. And the text messages I get from them, and I send the text messages back as I look at the all-22s, it's just ugly. Like, you go and watch it, Darnold's film, and, yeah, you'll see the occasional play. Like, he had this incredible throw on third down to Braxton Berrios where maybe three quarterbacks in the NFL could make that throw. But then so much of the game becomes – he didn't see an open receiver. For instance, there was a play on the first drive where Denzel Mims was open. If Darnold throws it to him on time, Mims gets a first down at the very least, and at best, he's got himself a touchdown. Instead, you're looking at a situation where he waited way too long and then threw the ball too late, and the defensive back was there and knocked it away. You see plays like that all the time where guys that are wide open, Darnold never looks their way. These are things that we can argue about how he got to this point, but he's at this point now, and the problem is, do we think he's going to be able to fix it? That's really the only question that matters. People can say, well, he's doing this because A, B, and C. Okay, but the only question that matters is, where can he go from here? Is he going to be part of the solution? And so I think all of the things that we talked about have played into that, and I think that's the major reason why he's struggling right now.
Have any other quarterbacks mentored Sam, given him advice such as maybe a Joe Namath or a Chad Pennington? Have any one of those guys came and mentored him and tried to just give him some advice just to, you know, how to handle the pressures of being a quarterback in the NFL?
I know Namath has been at training camp and he's spoken to Sam, so there's some of that. He's worked with Jordan Palmer as well. And I know that he's worked with other quarterbacks. He's also really good friends with Josh Allen. Not that he's somebody that could be a mentor because they're the same age or anything like that. I think that it's not so much a matter of him not being able to handle the pressure of being a quarterback. I think it's just, like I said, so many issues with him playing the position right now that are mental, that are going to be very difficult to break. I think that's really the issue. Encouraging words from Joe Namath are nice, but at the end of the day, it can't fix the problems that Sam Darnold has right now.
All right, well, we'll get back to Sam in just one moment, but you touched on the offensive side, and you mentioned a wide receiver, Braxton Berrios. I don't know, Scott. I looked at the Jets, and it seems like what we've mentioned earlier, Sam doesn't really have much to work with on the offensive side. Jamison Crowder did not play in the game, in this past Sunday's game against the Bills. So you mentioned Denzel Mims and Braxton Berrios. They were the leading receivers for the team. And also Breshad Perriman made his contributions felt. We know throughout the history, the Jets have had some quality receivers like Wesley Walker, Lavernius Coles, Santana Moss, Wayne Corbett, and a host of others. Again, we mentioned about the difficulties that Sam has gone through on the offensive side. Where are the receivers for the Jets? I mean, I know Braxton and Denzel have made some plays, but where are the receivers? Who are the other playmakers that can step up for the Jets on the receiving side?
There really aren't any, to be honest with you. Other than Jamison Crowder, who's been really good, he's missed a couple of games with an injury, but he's been excellent when he's played. Other than that, there's not a lot. Christopher Herndon, the tight end, was somebody that we expected some things from. He had a nice rookie season. Last year, he was suspended. Then when he came back, he got hurt immediately, so he basically missed the entire year. But he's been terrible. He hasn't been able to catch passes, and he's at the point now where they don't even trust him enough to throw to him. In fact, he made one play on Sunday, and it got called back on a penalty. So he's been a huge disappointment. You look at the rest of the receiving core, people were hoping for plays from Denzel Mims, and Denzel Mims had a nice debut on Sunday, but he had an injury to his hamstring early in camp, and everybody thought that he was going to be back in a few days, but a few days turned into he missed the entire training camp, and then he missed the first 6 weeks of the season. So we're still waiting to really see what kind of an impact he can have. And then, obviously, the best receiver this team had was Robbie Anderson. And instead of trying to keep him, which would have made sense because he's a really good receiver and he had good chemistry with Darnold, they lowball offered him. From what I understand, the offer was somewhere in the one-year, $6 million range. And he ended up leaving and going to Carolina for a much better offer from his old college coach, Matt Rhule. And as everybody has seen, Robbie has been playing great in Carolina. He's been one of the best receivers in the league this year. So that's another thing that's certainly not helping Darnold. That said, when guys are getting open and he's not seeing them, it could be Jeff Smith, who's one of the receivers getting open, or Juju Smith-Schuster, open is open, right? So if a guy's open and you don't see him, you don't see him. But he certainly hasn't been helped by the lack of weapons that he's had since he's been here. And then the offensive line has been kind of shaky, especially on Sunday. Josh Andrews allowed 9 pressures, which is just absolutely brutal. So, he hasn't had a great supporting cast, and they haven't had playmakers this season, especially. Le'Veon Bell was another guy, by the way, that was expected to be a playmaker in the passing game, but there's another case of Adam Gase being stubborn and not wanting to use him that way, and now he's in Kansas City. So yeah, this is kind of a no-name offense in terms of wide receiving talent right now.
Yeah, you're right about that. Robbie Anderson and then Sam, they had an interesting combo. They had a great combination. I was kinda, that was unfortunate how the Jets, like you said, they lowballed him on that contract. But of the running back position, again, the Le'Veon Bell experiment didn't work out. It was terrible. So now they bring in, I hate to use this term, an oldie but goodie in Frank Gore. We know Frank Gore has been, who will go in down as a future Hall of Famer. He had some great years with the 49ers and the Bills and the Dolphins, and now he's with the Jets. And, of course, we see a rookie with LaMichael Perine, who had some nice who contributed nicely in this past Sunday's game, scoring a touchdown. What do you, in your opinion, Scott, what do you think Frank Gore's got a wealth of experience and someone that's been, he's been there, done that, he's continuing to, you know, be a solid running back in the National Football League. What do you think his presence is to the Jets offense?
Frank Gore actually played fairly well against the Bills on Sunday, which was kind of surprising. For the most part, he's just been – he's looked old and tired. I mean, and I hate to say it because he's well-respected. I'm sure he's a great guy. And as you said, he's going to go to the Hall of Fame one day. But this is not the same Frank Gore that was one of the best running backs in the league 10 years ago. This is 37-year-old Frank Gore. So when he was signed, some of us were a little bit nervous because he said, well, Adam Gase has promised to use Le'Veon Bell in a better way this year. And they just drafted LaMichael Perine out of Florida. So now they're bringing in Gore, who's going to take up these carries. And some people said, oh, don't worry about it. Gore will be a good locker room leader. He'll get a couple of carries, no big deal. Well, it turned out that Gore was the one that was eating up most of the carries, and he wasn't doing so effectively until this past Sunday, where he was pretty good against the Bills. And the reason why people were upset is because Adam Gase spent the entire offseason talking about how his biggest regret, his biggest mistake from the year before was how he used Le'Veon Bell. So he was going to use him in the passing game better. He was going to give him a lot of touches, targets. He didn't. Even when Bell was healthy, Bell raced back from injury, and he got one target in his first game back. So that's where a lot of those problems came to a head, where Bell ended up getting released. And then with Perine, it was like, well, all right, let's see what the young kid has. And finally, this past week, they started giving him a lot of touches. But that's really where Jets fans were at, especially after getting rid of Le'Veon Bell. It was, let's at least see what the young kid can do. So the Frank Gore signing was weird at the time, and now it's just really odd to me that they're still feeding him this much. I would think that you'd want to see what the younger guys can do for you, whether it's LaMichael Perine or Ty Johnson. But Gase seems to really love Gore and trust him, so he's giving him the ball a ton. And that's what, you know, we'll see how that plays out the rest of the year. But the first seven games, it's been a whole lot of Frank Gore, and it hasn't been very successful, with the exception of the 11 carries he had in this past game against Buffalo.
Wow, that's interesting right there. Well, you mentioned, you talked about the stubbornness of Coach Gase, and definitely his stubbornness was what got Jamal Adams out of the Big Apple, was traded to the Seattle Seahawks, and now they, I mean, who's the one? I mean, I've seen some bright spots on the defensive side. There's so many issues going on with Quinnen Williams. Will he stay in New York? Will he be out of New York? What's going on with the gangrene defense?
Well, with Quinnen Williams, it's funny because last year he was banged up a little bit, and he was used primarily for stunting and two-gapping. And stunting and two-gapping means that he's there to basically just eat up guys on the offensive line and open up things for other players. So he wasn't used as an attacker that much. So a lot of people started talking about what a bust he was and so on and so forth. Full disclosure, I was a huge Quinnen Williams backer coming out of the 2019 draft. I was pounding the table for him, for the Jets to pick him at number three, for months. Myself, Joe Blewett, and a couple of others were doing this. And so I still had plenty of faith in him. And this year he's been outstanding. Even though he's in a scheme that doesn't necessarily favor what he does best, and even though I think Greg Williams, the defensive coordinator, is still using him to stunt and two-gap too much, he has been lights out, especially the last couple of weeks. He's been one of the best interior defensive linemen in the league. He's 22 years old. all this talk about him being traded is bonkers to me. That's not a guy you trade when you're a rebuilding team. That's a guy you keep and you build around as a core piece. So I'm hoping that this is more smoke fire with him. The rest of the defense has been interesting this year because they typically kept the Jets in games last year, in part because they were playing subpar offenses for most of the way. But this year, they had been getting trounced. They did a little bit better against Buffalo, at least in terms of points, but they still let up tons of yards on Sunday. Marcus May was playing strong safety to try to replace Jamal Adams early in the season, which didn't make a lot of sense to me because they'd gotten Bradley McDougal from Seattle in the Adams deal, and McDougal was an okay strong safety in Seattle. May was a pretty good free safety, but they decided to switch the roles, and it wasn't working out well. Marcus May wasn't all that good in the box, but the last 2 weeks since they put him back as a center fielder, the free safety, he's looked like his old self, so that's helped. And then Bryce Huff, the undrafted rookie edge rusher out of Memphis, who a lot of us were hoping would make a contribution, the last few weeks they've been giving him more responsibility, and he started to play well. And then on the interior line, Quinnen Williams has become one of the best in the league. And then right next to him, a guy who doesn't get anywhere near enough playing time, but when he has, he's been creating havoc, is John Franklin Myers. Now, John Franklin Myers is interesting because what happened with him was he was released by the Rams last year and the Jets picked him up. He was, I believe, a third or fourth round pick by the Rams. He even had a strip sack of Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, but the Rams were so loaded at the position that he didn't make the cut. So he ended up getting hurt last year. They stashed him on their practice squad. And then this year, he really made an impact in training camp, and he's just been wrecking things so far this year. He's been one of the most dominant interior defensive linemen in the league rushing the passer when you factor in the number of reps he's had, because obviously he hasn't had the number of reps that a lot of these guys with the flashier numbers have had. So the Jets seem to be building something there with Huff, with Quinnen Williams, with John Franklin Myers. So even though the defense has been very disappointing, particularly the secondary, who have just been awful, their cornerbacks are terrible. Pierre Desir has 3 interceptions, but he's been horrible in coverage. Bless Austin, who a lot of people had high hopes for because he had a few nice games last year, has kind of revealed himself to be more of a depth corner than anything else. And the interior linebackers, the inside linebackers, have been really poor in coverage too. But there do seem to be some beacons of light here. Like I said, Huff, John Franklin Myers, Quinnen Williams, a couple of guys that could be keepers for the long haul. So while the defense has been bad, and I would argue it's probably been the worst it's been in years, there are at least some guys that you can look at and say, all right, well, next year this guy might take another leap, and maybe there's some keepers on this defense.
It was only yesterday when the Jets had great defensive players such as Bart Scott, David Harris, and Darrell Revis, man. I tell you what.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's move along. Well, let's move along now to you mentioned about a diamond in the rough. Let's get back to the offensive side of things for a moment. The NFL is a quarterback's league. Trevor Lawrence may enter the 2021 NFL draft. Let's say, for instance, Scott, if you are Woody or Christopher Johnson, and if Sam Darnold declares himself for the 2021 NFL draft, do you take him? Do the Jets take Trevor? Or do you hold out on hope that Sam Darnold can get it turned around?
Well, first of all, if I'm Christopher or Woody Johnson, I'm pretty happy because that means I'm a billionaire. Second of all, with Trevor Lawrence, yeah, if the Jets get the first pick, they have to take Trevor Lawrence. There's not really a debate about it in my mind because, like I said, Sam Darnold needs a ton of work, and there's no guarantee that he's ever going to be a legitimate starting quarterback, or I should say a legitimate above-average starting quarterback in the league. He might be, but there's a lot that indicates that the odds are against him, right? With Lawrence, you get a 20-year-old. You start the rookie contract clock over. You've got a guy that you can bring in who doesn't have those same flaws. And here's another thing that isn't getting talked about enough. If you have the number one pick as opposed to rolling with Sam Darnold, right, you're trying to attract a new coach because we all understand that barring something unforeseen, Adam Gase is going to get fired at the end of the year. So whoever the coach is that you want, you go to him and you say, hey, Coach X, we want you to come in and we're going to give you Trevor Lawrence, and we also have a ton of draft picks, and we have a lot of cap space, and we can rebuild this whole thing the way that you want it. Or you say, hey, Coach X, we have Sam Darnold who looks broken, and we want you to come in here and fix him. Which of those two sounds like a better recruiting pitch, right? So I think that's something that people need to understand too. If you want to get an elite coach, you have a much better chance of doing that if you're selling the number one pick in Trevor Lawrence than if you're selling fixing Sam Darnold as a reclamation project. So I think if they get the number one pick, they should absolutely take Trevor Lawrence. And then the matter of Darnold would be, where do you trade him to? And there are a couple of possibilities. I have a friend who covers the Indianapolis Colts. There's been some talk about that because Sam Darnold's the kind of quarterback that Frank Reich likes. Also, the Colts and Jets have a really good relationship front office-wise. They're constantly making deals with each other. So there would be a lot of irony in that, too, because if you recall, the Jets made the trade with the Colts to move up from number 6 to number 3. So if they were to then turn around and trade Darnold to the Indianapolis Colts, it would be kind of a funny twist of fate. The Steelers are a team that's been mentioned a lot. We've heard about the 49ers as a dark horse candidate because they may not be super thrilled with Jimmy G. So there's a lot of possibilities if the Jets get the number one pick. But I do think that if they get it, they should take Lawrence, and I'm relatively certain they would.
Wow, interesting right there. I know New York is already campaigning for Trevor Lawrence to get to the Big Apple and play in the New Jersey Meadowlands. All right, well, speaking of the Jets they hung with the Bills as long as they could, but they're going to have to hang with the defending Super Bowl champions. Their next game is against the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, what can you say about the Chiefs? Mahomes, Edwards-Helaire, Le'Veon Bell is the newest addition to the Chiefs. There's Tyreek Hill. There's Travis Kelce. There's Mecole Hardman. There's Honey Badger. There's a host of great talent on this Kansas City squad. What do the Jets do to try to contain a juggernaut like Kansas City?
This reminds me of a time that I was working a Stony Brook basketball game, and they were playing Kentucky, who at the time I think were either defending champions or they had come off a Final Four appearance. And Kentucky won the game by like 40 points. And I remember after the game, the head coach at Stony Brook was asked a question about what happened. And he said, well, what can I tell you? They've got McDonald's All-Americans, and I've got guys that eat at McDonald's. And that's kind of where my head is at with this Chiefs-Jets matchup.
Right.
The Jets are just completely outmanned and outgunned in every single way imaginable. I don't know that the Jets have an edge at any position on the football field. I'd have to sit down and think about this. Maybe at left tackle with Mekhi Becton. That's probably the only thing where they would have an edge. The rest of it you would have to give to the Chiefs. The coaching as well, obviously, Andy Reid and his entire staff is a far stronger staff than Adam Gase's staff. The big question, I think, is going to be, can the Jets hang tight enough to cover the spread, which at this point I believe is 19.5 points. I think there's no moral victories in football, but at least in my head, it would be sort of a moral victory if the Jets were to cover the spread, because you see Patrick Mahomes and what he's doing against good defenses. Just imagine what he's going to do with this Jets defense that we just talked about being a defense that struggles a lot. Sam Darnold's been having a ton of problems, even with defenses that aren't that sharp. What's going to happen when he's got Frank Clark and Chris Jones in his face? What are the Jets going to do in terms of adjustments when Andy Reid is calling the plays and when the Kansas City defense is coming at them? So, yeah, this is going to be a really ugly match. Plus, don't forget, the Jets have to travel all the way to Arrowhead on top of it. So you put all that together, and this has all the markings of a tremendous beating. Like I said, if you're a Jets fan, for your own pride's sake, you kind of want the Jets to cover the spread just to avoid complete embarrassment. But I would be stunned if this is anything other than a huge rout for Kansas City, because on paper and in reality, Kansas City's just so much better in every way.
Well, as T.O. once said, get your popcorn ready. Well, Jets fans are going to have to get a Tylenol ready, because it's going to be a long day. But, Scott, thank you so much for getting time out of your busy schedule to be on the show. Tell everybody about what you do as the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to do it, and thank you so much for having me on. Anytime you want me to come back, just let me know. we do a daily podcast, believe it or not, 7 days a week of Jets. So that might explain why my mental state is in question right now, because you can't talk about the Jets 7 days a week without losing your mind. So this is how it generally goes. The show usually gets posted just after midnight to start the day. So if you're an insomniac, you work a late shift, you can listen right away. Or if you're somebody that has to get up really early for work, it's there for you for your commute. And on Mondays, we do the post-game report with Andy Vasquez from NorthJersey.com. We go through the game. We talk about any news that came out after it, injuries, stuff that went on in the locker room, post-game quotes, all that stuff. On Tuesday, Brian Bassett, who is the godfather of Jets podcasts, he started the very first Jets podcast, as far as I'm aware, about a dozen years ago. He's back. I lured him out of retirement, and he does a show with his friends Travis Milton and Josh Conrad once a week called There's Always Next Year. They talk Jets, play some games, do some funny, silly stuff. It's a nice change of pace, but it is obviously Jets-based. Then on Wednesdays, Manish Mehta, who's a bit of a lightning rod, who covers the Jets for the Daily News, comes on, and we take a look at the midweek news. This week we talked about Quinn and Williams, you and I just now, and Manish broke a story that Quinn and Williams is available, and then, of course, other beat writers were contesting that, so we talked about that this week, among other things, and he comes on every Wednesday for a look at the midweek news. Then on Thursdays, I was doing something called Know Your Foe, where we would go in-depth on the opposing team, but let's be honest, at this point, the Jets are 0-7. Nobody really cares as much about the individual matchups, so what we're doing now is we're taking an early look at the draft in a Jet-centric way, guys that the Jets should be looking at, players for fans to watch, key matchups, key games to look at. And so we're alternating every other week. It's Charlie Campbell from WalterFootball.com and Connor Rogers from Bleacher Report. And then on Friday, we do the Chronicles of Mania. We call it Michael Mania from JetsXFactor.com, who's one of the best analytics guys out there. He should be in a front office somewhere. So we run through all the advanced stats involving the Jets. On Saturdays, we do film with Joe Blewett, who's another guy that should be working for a team. His film breakdowns are absolutely incredible over at Jets X Factor. There's 3 to 4 hours of film every week. It's insane. And then Sundays, we have a little fun for the pregame. Walter Cherepinski of WalterFootball.com comes on to give us his gambling picks. He's up like $4,000 so far this year. So even if you're somebody that's like, I don't want to hear this pregame report, listen just for Walter's picks. Chris Nimbley of JetsInsider.com, who we call the Very Big Deal, comes on, and we do a quick preview of the game, and then we get into mailbag questions, and we have a lot of fun with that because the questions will range from why is Adam Gase still the head coach of this team to what's your favorite specialty pizza? So we answer questions from all over the place, Jets-related and not Jets-related, so we have a lot of fun with that. But again, 7 days a week, it's called Play Like a Jet. You can find it on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, anywhere you get your podcast, and you can find me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1.
Oh, man, you are indeed a busy man, Scott. And before we let you go, again, where can they find you? And again, where can they find you and Play Like a Jet on social media and any websites? Let them know that as well.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And you can also, and I'm very interactive on there, so if you hit me up on Twitter, I'm usually pretty good for a response. And you can also find the podcast in addition to all the normal platforms. You can get it at turnonthejets.com. The show is a part of Turn on the Jets Digital. And there's some other great things there. There's a subscription podcast. I actually work on the technical side of this one. I'm not hosting this particular podcast called Badlands with Connor Rogers from Bleacher Report and Joe Caparoso, who owns TurnOnTheJets.com and is the vice president of social media for Whistle Sports. So you can check that out as well. But, yeah, the podcast is available everywhere you can find podcasts and at TurnOnTheJets.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1.
Well, you heard it from him. He is Scott Mason. He is the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. It's a podcast dedicated to all things New York Jets content, and check them out on the various social media platforms and the website. Scott, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
Yeah, absolutely, Ed. I appreciate you having me on, and I'm happy to come back anytime you want.
Solid, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Driving, like right now. Are you the one texting, putting makeup on, eating a chicken wrap, merging without a turn signal, or going 50 in the fast lane? Or are you the one watching your blind spot, keeping your hands off the phone, turning smoothly, and going easy on the brakes? Because if you're the last one, you're a perfect candidate to save money. A lot of money. At Root Insurance, we care about you and how you drive. While other insurers put more weight on your age, zip code, education, and job, we know the most important factor in determining someone's risk on the road is how they actually drive. Sound simple? That's because it is. Here's how it works. Root uses the technology in your smartphone to give you a rate based primarily on how you actually drive, which means good drivers could save hundreds. So if you're a good driver, Root is for you, because we're all about you and how you drive. Disclaimers may apply. See joinroot.com for details.
Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today. Because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only.
Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today. Because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only. Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only. Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only.
That's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Want to send another special thank you to this week to the guest on the program, Scott Mason, the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. It's a podcast dedicated to providing New York Jets content. Again, thank you to Scott for all he does with the New York Jets. And again, he is the host of the Play Like a Jet podcast. It's the podcast dedicated to providing New York Jets content. Until next time, remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish. Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only. Your home has worked extra hard this year, so why not give it a little something for the holidays? How about a new workspace while you're working from home, or a brand new bookcase built from scratch? Whatever your home wants, needs, or just might be hinting about, start with Craftsman at Lowe's. Craftsman power tools, mechanics tools, outdoor power equipment, and tool storage can help you take any project from start to finish.
Shop Lowe's.com today, because a gift for home brings joy to all. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, U.S. only.